This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we could praise your name, that we could worship your name with Mark and Yolandi and with James. That you are God, that you are the only God, and there's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. Get access to your throne room. And Father, this afternoon, that we can also become quiet as we enter your throne room. That we want to hear what is on your heart, what you want to share with us this afternoon. That we will realize again there's only one God, and that's you. There is no other God. There's only one way, and it is Jesus. There's no other way. Thank you for that confidence, what you put in our hearts, Father. And that we can look with an excitement to what you want to share with us this afternoon. In the name of Jesus, amen. As what we were worshipping, I felt there is one person that the Lord has been speaking to. If there's a certain message or if there's a certain picture what you got as what we're worshipping, I'm going to give you time now that you can come and maybe share it. This afternoon, I feel that the Lord wants to speak to us about receiving love and giving love. And it's actually each and every relationship that we've got in this world. It's about giving, and about receiving. It's the one gives, the other one is taking, the other one is receiving, and we see it everywhere. We can see it with friends. The one is borrowing the other one's bicycle. The other one is borrowing his laptop again. No, not borrowing girlfriends. Borrowing a bicycle or borrowing a laptop, things like that. And there's a relationship because that's that type of understanding. And you also have got the freedom to ask. And you also have got to trust any other person to give. So that's the relationship about giving and taking. It's happening in families as well. And I was very surprised when I heard from our daughter-in-law, who's one of twin, that up till the time that she went to university, and then they split it, that they always shared their wardrobe, which means that they would stand in front of it and they would decide what they're going to wear. But it's not, oh no, this is Daniel's or this is Marcel's. No, you just take what you wanted to wear today. And it was a little bit of a strange thing because coming out of a family with six boys, you had your pair of trousers that were yours and you were not sharing them with your brother, that you were not doing. But we see it over there as well in family that they're also sharing it. In marriage as well, you're also sharing things and what you're giving. My wife is nodding, so she's agreeing with that. We have a type of a give and take arrangement as well. Renee's got a washing machine, and I've got a dishwasher. So whatever dishes have got to be done is my problem, and whatever washing has got to be done is her problem. And we don't interfere in these other machines. We leave it like it is. So it's also a matter of giving and taking and sharing it. Not to say that this is standard or that is biblical. It's just an arrangement between the two of us. And it's also at work. It is happening that you sometimes swap your shift with somebody else. You say, okay, can I do that morning shift for you? And you will take my evening shift because I've got to visit or this or that. So you make with your colleagues as well. You also change. It's also a giving and a taking. Even between companies, it is happening. One company will say to the other, okay, if you buy this from me, then I will buy that from you. And there is a type of a giving and taking. Even with the countries. They spoke this weekend in Brussels about it again, about the European Union. This is the reason why the European Union is existing, is the giving and taking, a relationship between the different countries. And it started initially for the economical purpose of it. So everywhere in life, where we're having a look, we We will always see that giving and taking. We will always see that receiving and giving. And what God is talking to us today about is the giving and receiving of love. And what I mentioned just now in the offering as well, you only can give if you've received something. And you only can receive from somebody else if that person has got something. And that is also critical, what we always should keep in mind, that we can, in the giving and receiving, that we must have something or that we can give something to somebody else. What has God given to us? What has the Creator of heaven and earth given to us? His creation. What has He given to us? And to have a look at it, I would like to read John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Have a look at that first part again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So He's showing something over there which is very important, because there's a connection between love and giving. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And that's the very nature of love, is to give to other people, to give to God, whoever has got to receive. And the love thing starts with God. We can read that in 1 John 4, verses 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. God is the author. He's the source of love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the very nature of God is to give. The very nature of love is to give. The very nature of God is to give. God gave us love by sending His Son. And then the love, what God sent, is not a love that we know in this world. The love that God sent to us is the agape love. And the agape love is a mankind love. It's a love that God has got for His creation. Now, if we take a look at the love of God, then many times we hear it, that the people are saying it's an unconditional love. It is free. God will give it to each and every one. I agree. But it's also a conditional love. Because if you're not going to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the love of God doesn't mean anything to you. So there is a condition attached to it as well. So on the one side, it's unconditional. It's free for everyone. But it's also conditional, because it will only mean something for you if you're going to receive it from God and if you make it your own. The Hollywood love, the Eros love, is selfish. It's just what is in there for me. And the agape love from God is a love without a self-benefit. God is not wanting to get benefit out of it, that He's giving us that love. So we've got a different love and a different principle behind the giving of love from God. It is without self-interest, what we see in the people and what we receive in this world, and what we hear about in Hollywood is about a self-interest. They want to get something out of it. Because when we receive something, when we receive a gift, and when we give a gift to somebody else, let's say you give a gift to your mom at home, it's maybe that you're giving it out of fear. Because you know it's her birthday. And if you're not going to give anything to her, then she's going to be angry with you. So out of that fear, you're giving a gift. So it's no other reason than fear. It could also be out of a type of an obligation. It's your sister-in-law's birthday. and you know, okay, it's the annual visit which has got to be done. We cannot have any excuses. We've tried so many. We've got to go. It's an obligation. I'll give her a present. It's also sometimes that it is with a selfish expectation. You know you've got to ask for leave, and you know it's a little bit tricky, but you know if you bring a bunch of flowers or a box of chocolate to your senior a week before he has got to decide if he's going to give you leave or not, then you're basically manipulating, and then you're trying to do it the way you want to have it. Now, if God is giving that love to us, if God is giving Jesus to us, if God is giving eternal love to us, of eternal life to us, what is he expecting back? Because in the world again, if you give something to somebody, they take a look at you and they say, okay, what is your hidden agenda? What do you want to get out of me? What is it? What is it behind it? We will ask those type of questions. Is there something behind it? Behind the hidden agenda, behind the agape love from God? And when I had a look at it, I felt I had to use a part out of Mark. And it's actually interesting to see that Jesus is busy and talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now the Pharisees, first they came to him, and they were in a type of a Q&A session with Jesus. And they asked, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And then we know that answer, that Jesus asked for a coin, and then he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. And then the Sadducees came. Now the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees have got no problem with it. They believe there's a life after this life, but the Sadducees don't believe there's a life after this life. And they came with that other question, that one lady had a husband, no children, passed away, married with the second, the third, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, all of them. At the final end, she also passed away. And then they asked the question, if she's going to be resurrected, to whom is she going to be married? And then Jesus is knowing that the Sadducees do not believe in eternal life. And he's giving them that answer. For when you rise from the dead, they neither marry or may give in marriage. So if you want to get married, you've got to do it over here. In heaven, there's no marriage. So Urbanus, if you want to get married, you've got to do it over here. But you are like angels in heaven. So yes, wife, my wife, it's only for this period what we are married over here. But in heaven, we are going to be like angels. Okay, now the Pharisees, the Sadducees, now it's nearly like I would say, now it's the turn again for the Pharisees to talk to and to come with a question to Jesus. But then a specific person came with a question, and that is what they call a scribe, a lawyer. A lawyer which is an expert in the Mosaic law. Now, some of you are experts in a certain field, a civil engineer or a chartered accountant or whatever it is. You haven't done anything else in your life than that specific thing. You are an expert on it. You know everything about it. Now, such a type of person is coming now to Jesus and asking something about the law. So immediately you know, oh, wait a moment, this could be very difficult for Jesus to give the right answer. But it's not difficult, because he knew exactly what the person was going to ask. And then a scribe came, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, because he heard those conversations of the Pharisees and the Sadducees with Jesus, perceiving that he answered them well, he asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the most important commandment? And I just want to stop over here, because what we've got to keep in mind is that the Jewish people have got commandments. Some of them, they are important, like the Sabbath and the circumcision. Fortunately, we haven't got the circumcision anymore. But then they also have got the unimportant ones, where they're talking about what exactly, how you've got to, which is more the moral and the type of, ceremonial laws, how to do it and so on. So you nearly have got a lot of different laws, but also a little bit of grading. So you've got important ones, less important, and minor type of laws. And the interesting of it is that the Jewish people have got 613 laws, 613 of them. And now how the 613 has been combined is that there are 248 what they call, I just have got to look it up, positive commandments. And the positive commandments are equal to the amount of limbs in our body. Which leaves us, if you're calculating 316 less 248, leaves us with 365. This is the amount of days what we've got in a year, but it's also the amount of arteries and blood veins what we've got in our body as well. So what they're trying to say is how important is that those laws in our total body or has got to be, it's a type of a total what they've got. It is so important that those two are going together. And just another interesting thing, 613, if we take the Ten Commandments of what God gave to Moses, and if we count the amount of letters, 613. So we see that now such a type of person who's got that type of knowledge is now coming to Jesus. He knows everything about all these 316 laws, and he's asking, which one is now the most important commandment? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. Jesus starts his answer with a part which the scribe, the lawyer, he knew all about it. Because he's saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is exactly the same words as what each and every Jewish person is saying in the morning and what he's saying in the evening. Yahweh, our God, is one Yahweh. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. What are they saying over here? The Lord our God is one, which means he's number one. There is no other God. Because all the other countries around them had other gods. And we know it as well. You can go in different places in the world that people have got another God. They are worshipping ancestors along with God. If you go to the Hindus, they've got how many gods? We can read it about Paul as well, who saw that they had, I think it was in Greece or in somewhere over there in the southern Europe, how many gods they had over there. But they're saying each and every day to themselves in the morning and in the evening, Yahweh, our God, is one Yahweh. They do not want to share him with other gods. He's the one God. And at the second alike, Jesus is carrying on with his response to the question from the Pharisee. And a second like it, this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and there is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you've spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. So this guy, this lawyer, is saying to Jesus now he's a teacher. It's actually a compliment for Jesus because he is putting Jesus in that category of teachers. And the Jewish people, not quickly that you can go into a type of a category as a teacher. You've got to be a rabbi. You've got to be somebody who's got a status to be called a teacher. And this is what this scribe is saying now to Jesus. You are a teacher. I'm just going to carry on with finalizing the total answer of Jesus and then to take it and see how God is, what God is actually asking from us. And then he carries on, and to love him with all of your heart, with all your understanding, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as yourself is more than all the burnt offering and sacrifices. So he is acknowledging that these two things what Jesus just now addressed are much more important than all the other rules and regulations which they've got at the bottom. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared questioning him anymore. So the Q&A session was over now. after this conversation, which was up there for a lot of people around him. And I think Peter and the other guys, the Jewish fishermen, who were standing and listening now to how these teachers and lawyers are talking to each other, they must probably said, oh, wait, I think I've got to excuse myself. This is really above my fireplace. Going back again to that answer, what Jesus said, what God is asking us in return for his love is that we say exactly the same as what Jesus answered over there. God is one. He's number one in our life. Not another God. Not us, something else would we bring in on a Monday and we push God to Wednesday, and then on Wednesday evening we maybe pull him in again for a Wednesday evening small group, and then that we continuously move around. No. One God, and that's God, the living God, the Yahweh. And that the Jewish people are reminding themselves each and every day, in the morning and in the evening, saying it, Yahweh is one. This is what God is asking for us, that we put him number one in our lives. But then he's asking something else as well. Because if we take a look at what Jesus is saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. If you take that out of my body, there's nothing left. It's all gone. God is asking that we should give all to him. We shouldn't keep anything back. Nothing. Not the way we are thinking, not our heart, not our strength, what we've got. Nothing. We should give ourselves totally to God. And if we are giving totally to God, we also likewise, and then the Greek word over there is homos, which means it's exactly identical, the same. We should do it with the neighbor as well. Not the ones next to you, but also the one next to you when you're driving in a bus or in a train, or when you're at a certain place and speaking to somebody else. So God is asking something back something back as he gave to us. And he asks us that we should love him, but that we also should love our neighbor. And the importance of that we should love God and that we should love our neighbor, we can see it again in Revelations, in one of the letters which is given to one of the churches, the Church of Ephesus, in Revelations 2, verses 4. And 5, where John is writing then to the writing the revelations of what Jesus is giving him. Nevertheless, I have this against you. This is what Jesus has got against the church of Ephesus. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else it will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. How important it is that this should be number one in our life. God should be number one. Loving God should be number one. As a church, it should be number one as well. It's not about the coffee and the cake afterwards, but that we share with each other, that we live it out, that we're enjoying it, of putting God first in our lives. And that you're not going to battle and say, but how should I do this or how should I do that? But that you can speak to somebody at your small group, that you can speak to somebody who's sitting next to you about what are you doing in life? How are you experiencing life? Praying together and so on, putting God first, that you have left your first love. Because that's the reason why we as church are together. Together, we are loving God. We're praising his name, we're worshiping him, and we're loving him. And that we are going to carry on with that, because the threat over there is what Jesus says, I'll remove your lampstand. Because that is the light, what we've got as a church, that we are showing love to each other, but also to the outside, also for people who are seeing and passing us over here. Let me summarize. We've all got a testimony of somebody has given us something with an expectation. And when I was busy with the sermon as well, I felt that there's somebody, and it could be that the person is watching with Facebook Live, or maybe afterwards, or maybe that the person is in the hall over here. But you are being manipulated by somebody who's giving you gifts. And the gifts are given to you not out of love, but the gifts are given to you out of a manipulation. And you've got to stand up and you've got to say, I'm not accepting those gifts anymore. Because those gifts, with those gifts you want to manipulate me. And gifts should have love as a foundation, what we heard just now. Love should be the foundation of a gift. And if it is a manipulation, then we've immediately got to stop it and we've got to cut it. When we receive a gift, unfortunately, a lot of times there's a selfish type of thing with it. Somebody wants to get something out of it. But in the relationship with God, God has given us His only begotten Son. And God is not looking then for a lot of performance type of things. What we're doing, what we are here together, what we're giving as offering and tithe and alms and all those type of things, we're doing to say thank you out of thankfulness to God for what God has done with Jesus Christ in our lives. So we say thank you today. Thank you, God, for your love that you gave to us and for the gift that you gave to us. And we receive your gift, Jesus Christ. And we understand it. And we understand your love. And we thank God because we love God and we love His creation. Lord, I love you. Lord, you're number one in my life. And if the Holy Spirit is stirring you that there's something in your life at the moment, what you've got to bring to God, where you've got to repent of, that you can bring it to Him, that you can repent of it, and that your relationship with God can continue from here, that it can just be strengthened by it. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are God, that you love us, that you want to be with us, that you're waiting for us. And I pray, Father, that through the Holy Spirit, that you're going to speak to each and every person, and that they're going to be touched by it, and that they're going to come back to you, and that they will say, Lord, I love you. You are number one in my life. Nothing else is more important. Not my car, not my bicycle, not my work. Nothing is more important than you. And it will be for the rest of my life on this earth. You will always be number one in my life. And Father, that we also will live it out in the daily lives, that people around us can see it. We've got a relationship with you, Father. A relationship where we're receiving love from you and where we can give love back to you as well, Father. And we thank you for your love, your unconditional love, which you give to each and every one. And that message, that we can give that beautiful message also to other people. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.